Welcome, Dr. Simon, to Writer's Series.
Thanks, Sasha. Lovely to be with you.
You hold a few roles as a clinician with over a 30-year tenure in OBGYN. You are also the founder of PosMed. Can you please provide an overview of what led you to write the book, From Hurting to Healing?
Thanks, Sasha. So I'm an obstetrician gynecologist in Australia with a long clinical career. I didn't really intend to write a book. That wasn't always on my agenda, but towards the latter part of my clinical career, I was thinking more and more about issues such as culture and teamwork within health. And we have massive challenges in healthcare around the world at the moment, and these were beginning before the pandemic and have continued after largely the pandemic has passed. So these were sort of things that I was considering. For example, I was thinking about why some people were suffering within healthcare and others weren't, and why some teams function really well and others don't, and whether that was just luck or whether there was things that we could identify to create that caused these sort of outcomes, and if there were, how we could improve things for individuals and how we could create high functioning teams. So that began sort of taking up more of my thought, and I was just kind of drawn to it. So the book came from thoughts and maybe just some scribbles on bits of paper and just trying to get my own thoughts in order, and it evolved from there.
Given your experience working in the medical realm, do you believe that you talk about the crisis point in your writing? Do you believe the crisis point exists across the spectrum from policymakers down to the workers, or is there one or two root causes of it?
Of the healthcare crisis, I think it is a very difficult time. Our resources are very stretched. It's not deliberate. Nothing intentional has led to this point. I think it's many factors, and I think it's the first step. I think is that we acknowledge at every level that we have a problem, and that we try to define that problem as well as we can, because then we'll be closer to solutions. So I think that accepting that we do have a problem, I think that's where we're at. And I think we need to acknowledge that continuing to do things the way we've done them for a long time hasn't been working. And I don't think it's going to work. So it's probably the time where we say, well, we've got an opportunity to reinvent our healthcare systems and how we look after healthcare workers. And we can do this in a way that's even better than what we've done before. So although we could say we've got a crisis, I think we can also, view that as an opportunity.
With the opportunity to change and grow, do you believe there should be certain incentives in place to give those in power and those contributing to the field to pay more attention, to contribute in a positive manner?
I think the incentive has to be to try to create systems that work, that are not damaging those working within the systems. And I think the incentive, the thing that we can aim at, is to create a system where people love going to work rather than dread going to work, and where people don't want to leave work rather than leaving at alarming rates. And that will mean we can serve our communities better and have better patient outcomes, and that's what we all really want. So I think they're incentive enough to really put in the work and pay attention to what we can do to create better systems.
Even though the topic that you write about is not as abstract as it may feel, could you take us through the writing process? Were there any parts of the book that you found challenging to write, whether from a technical standpoint or an emotional standpoint?
So the book is largely divided into elements that I thought were challenging in healthcare culture and the way we train doctors and nurses and the way our systems have developed. And that was a little more difficult to write because it meant I had to examine what had perhaps damaged me or caused me grief over the years. Because if something had had affected me in that way, it would almost certainly be affecting other people. And I had to sort of think about my role in that and what had I done or not done to create that system? What was my place? What was the place of other people? And that was probably the hardest bit to write. That's a small part of the book. The larger part of the book is really trying to reimagine ways we can move forward and create the sort of thriving environments that we'd all like to work in.
Among the genres of science, medicine, health, and this could also expand into other nonfiction categories, what makes you believe that your writing is unique given this book?
Well, I guess everyone's writing is unique, isn't it? Everyone's got their own viewpoint. I think the one point of difference is that I've always been very drawn to teams and culture, and that started as a child playing in sports. So that's where I have drawn from lessons about teamwork through the whole of my life. And there are some sporting anecdotes in the book in terms of what lessons we can learn from other areas, and there's some lessons from other industries. So it's not all completely dry and a medical culture field. It's actually the book is really, like most things, is about humans and human relationships and interaction and how we communicate. And that's actually the key to how we will eventually improve our healthcare systems.
Did you have possibly a medical peer or a friend or family member who did the beta reading of the book before it became final?
Well, Sasha, yes, my initial sort of scratchings on paper and little mini essays developed into larger essays, which I shared with some other people, some medical, some non-medical, to get a sense of where it was going. And at that stage, it was just a fledgling idea, and negative comment could quite easily have stopped the project at that point. Thankfully, I had some positive feedback, and that's a challenging thing to do, to expose yourself by sharing your writing with another person. As you know, takes courage to talk about your innermost feelings and then let someone else read them. And some of those people, for example, the medical people that I shared it with, said, "Yeah, I've thought these things too," or, "This sounds like what I've thought about." So that reinforced that I wasn't the only person thinking that we had particular issues and challenges, and that there were ways that we could move forward. And it also demonstrated to me that other people would have interest in these areas.
You touch upon courage and constructive feedback. Did you receive any constructive feedback that made you reflect and reevaluate how you were approaching certain topics?
I received positive feedback, and I also received some less positive feedback in that one of my friends thought that there could be a bit of a savage editing of one particular chapter, and that was actually really good feedback. All feedback is good, isn't it? Because just as I have a unique viewpoint in writing, others have a unique viewpoint that they bring to the reading. And it's good to know that if someone thinks something's good, others most likely will. And other people, if some of your peers think that, "Oh, maybe this is a bit long-winded," then others will too. So I think both positive and less positive feedback can be valuable.
And in terms of a life lesson, do you have any guidance for writers when it comes to whom to confide in and whom to skip over when you're looking for substantial, possibly a response or a reaction?
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess our instinct will be to share with people that we expect to give us all positive feedback. I think it's also important to share with people that you think will not pull any punches, and maybe a little more cutting in their remarks, because I think that will tighten you up. You don't want to have only that feedback. And of course, it's also very generous of those people to spend time considering your work. So I think probably a mix of both is really important. I think the other thing, Sasha, is you can look at things with a different lens. You can adopt a different lens when you read and reread things, and also become almost a critic of your own. And we all do that, but you can take different approaches to reading your own work.
Dr. Simon, was there any part of the writing process that you did not look forward to?
Occasionally, it was difficult to find the right words or the right ideas. And when that was the case, I'd often find that things would come to me in the middle of the night or, whilst exercising and things like that. And in fact, I ended up jotting down a few ideas at night. I had a pen and a piece of paper beside my bed. And sometimes out walking or something like that, I would get an idea. And often those changes of scenery seem to stimulate creativity a little bit more than the usual sitting at the desk in the same position. So I ended up using those elements of exercise, say, as times when I could create ideas. So I'd often go out for a walk early in the morning, and that seemed to really help with the process. And then come back and sit down and work for a couple of hours and use those ideas that I generated or that had just come to me. As it was, this was something, the book, as people say, you write the book that you need. And that was kind of the way this all happened. And I think I had a real calling. I was very drawn to doing the work, and I probably couldn't have resisted it even if I'd tried.
If you had to do anything different from conceptualizing the idea, writing it, and launching the book, is there any part of the process that you would change if you could?
No, I don't think so. Looking back, there's nothing that stands out. It all went quite smoothly, and I think it was good to put my ideas down, and it helped clarify my thinking and understand the sort of vague thoughts and the difficult emotions that I'd experienced and the challenges that I'd experienced in healthcare and questions about how we could do things better. So it actually formulated all of that. So even if there were difficult times of slowing of ideas and things, perhaps that was the process that I had to have. And I there's nothing that would, I don't think I would change anything, Sasha.
The full title of your book is From Hurting to Healing, Delivering Love to Medicine and Healthcare. And you do use the word love in the title. It made me wonder, how often did you feel the emotion of love as you were working through the storytelling of what needs attention and how it could be fixed?
Very often, I think emotions are incredibly important in healthcare, and there's something that have left healthcare in lots of ways. We pride ourselves on, as medical professionals and as nurses, but particularly doctors, we learn implicitly through medical training that emotion is not valued, and we're best to suppress our emotions. And it's to the detriment of our health, and I think it's to the detriment of our patients. I mean, of course, suppressing emotions is important in emergency situations, but I think love is very important, and I think one of the ways forward is actually understanding that we have affection for our institutions and that we have affection and a type of love for our teammates. And I feel very grateful for the teams that I've worked with, and I've loved many of my bosses in the past that have looked after me and treated me, with a similar kind of affection in some ways. And I think that makes us a much more human organization and a human team, and it creates trust and belonging, and it's really, really important for healthcare and for high functioning teams, not to mention feeling positive emotions at work, which are unfortunately too, un too they are rare at the moment, which is difficult. But feeling positive emotions at work is actually very good for our own health, and being able to feel affection for a long-term patient and feel joy at positive outcomes. And in my industry with obstetrics, that was a common scenario. We would see good things happen, but we also saw difficult things happen. And I think it's important to acknowledge that difficult emotions can occur in patients, but they also occur in the staff looking after the patients in for instance, a tragic outcome.
Very wisely said. And finally, Dr. Simon, are there any projects that you're working on? And you could let audiences know where they can find you.
Thanks, Sasha. Well, interestingly, I've got some other thoughts that I'm writing down, but most of my work is now around coaching individuals, so healthcare leaders and doctors, and working with leaders of institutions to facilitate culture improvement in our hospitals and for our teams. And that's actually a fantastic area to work in. It's a real joy. So I can be contacted at my website. My company's POSMED, as you said, so www.posmed.com.au. If anyone is interested in these issues or any healthcare leaders want to talk about culture, I love talking about this stuff. So it would be great to touch base with others.
Dr. Simon Craig, thank you for joining us on Writer Series.
Thanks very much, Sasha.